Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Justin, and so good. Thousands of spring deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save big today on new arrivals from Kate Spade New York, Nike, Sam Edelman, Free People, and Madewell, starting at only $30. Great brands and great prices on dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and more. So rack your look and get first dibs on spring styles you want now from just $30 at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
Instagram wants me dead. It's trying to kill me. It's horrible.
Like you're on it constantly?
Not even like that. Just like, it's mean. It makes me compare myself to people. I have a baby and a child's father who's famous. And like, I mean, it gets intense. It gets intense. You know, looking at the little girls and I'm not sexy. Or looking at the big and I'm not funny. I'm not nothing on there. But I'm everything in real life.
You're everything.
And when I'm around the same exact people in real life, I don't feel those things.
Yeah.
And now it's getting even worse because now the standard of black beauty is a white woman.
It's a white woman pretending to be black.
My mind just got blown
worse.
Right now.
Yeah. I don't know why my mind just got blown.
Shut up.
No.
It should have been
just
a show.
Like, oh, shit. The representation of black beauty is not
it's
black.
It's not black
no more.
I want to take a picture of Zosha right now because she looks like a rapper to me.
Oh, thank you. I want to put that on my Insta, man. That's how I be trying to feel.
You do look like you are repping Hot Girl Summer.
Yes, I am all day, baby. Meg Thee Stallion. I'm driving the boat.
I'm driving the boat, baby. This is The Secret Lives of Black Women. I'm Lauren.
I'm Sharla.
And today we're talking with Zosha Rockmore about beauty, confidence, and how social media fucks up all that for us.
I've had a tenuous relationship with social media. I get on, I get off, I unfollow, I mute, all because I just want my peace. And that's why I'm so excited for us to talk to Zosha Rockmore, who's an actress. She's been on The Mindy Project.
She's been in Precious.
I'm dying up here in Black Monday on Showtime. She has a dope-ass Twitter, and she's super active on social media. And this is the kind of stuff that we're going to be talking to her about today.
Yeah, so, like, we're talking about, like, beauty and insecurity, and she fucking goes there, and it's, like, an open book.
All right, no more spoilers. Let's get into it, dude.
First of all, I love your Twitter. I think you are hilarious.
Thank you. I've been trying to lean in to my Twitter, like, just, yeah, I've been vibing off my Twitter. I'm like, my Twitter is lit. I ain't got no followers. My shit lit. I'm funny as fuck, bro.
It's funny. Like,
I've been like, these are jokes. I've been not tweeting some stuff because I'm like, I'm going to save this for, like, real material.
Yeah, well, your pin tweet slayed me, which is like, is Meghan Markle ever allowed to wet her hair?
It was a thought I had. I just changed that to my pen one, too. I had something that was, like, motherhood related. But then that Meghan Markle one was, like, a sleeper. I had, like, two likes. I was like, this is everything, bro. Like,
I feel like Meghan Markle is going to wet her hair, like, when she gets to that Michelle Obama stage, like, after she's been in the royals for a long time.
Yeah.
And just with that wet and wavy.
She finally gets to wear some jeans, you know what I mean? Like, she's wearing straight-up military coats every day right now.
Right, and, like,
she can't let her hair down, literally, yeah.
I was just really...
Uniform.
Yeah. So, but you posted something recently that sort of feeds into, like, our conversation, because I want to talk to you about social media, and you like, I am a legit Instagram stalker.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's horrible. Instagram wants me dead. It's trying to kill me. I have to, like, rein it in because it's trying to literally take its friggin' it's horrible.
Like you're on it constantly?
Not even like that. Just like, it's mean. It makes me compare myself to people. I have a baby and a child's father who's famous and, like, I mean, it gets intense. It gets intense. I'm not fucking with Instagram. I wish I have a dream of unfollowing everyone except for the real people I know.
I did that before, actually.
Yeah, I know. That's so brave. Like, yeah, the fact that I'm scared to even do something like that proves
but
that
I've actually had to. It happened in real life. This is when it happened. It was a comic in New York, and I unfollowed them on Twitter. And then, like, literally 10 minutes later, I got a text message like, why did you unfollow me? And I was like, how did you know I unfollowed
you? People have an app for that.
He had an app that shows who unfollows him. And I was just like, I literally, you know, like you feel caught, like you feel like the police floodlights are on you. Cause I was like, that was my actual fears, that I would be called out on it. And I was just like, I couldn't imagine that this would really happen, that I would be really called out on this.
But that's so extreme that it's like how social media has totally warped the way that we like live our lives, that you're taking it as a personal affront if someone's not following you online, but texting you in person.
By the way, I refollowed him out of guilt, and I was super resentful of it. Like, I did not want to follow you, and I feel like I should have the choice. Someone who gets under your skin?
Like, anyone who's working when I'm not. Anyone who's mixed when I'm dark. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Deadline things with jobs I didn't get. And seeing who got it and being like, the man. You know, or, you know, looking at the little girls and I'm not sexy. Mm-hmm. Or looking at the big and I'm not funny. I'm not nothing on there. But I'm everything in real life.
You're everything.
And when I'm around the same exact people in real life, I don't feel those things.
Yeah. I don't have any problem. I mute people that I have that tight knot feeling around. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. And they can be friends sometimes. And that's the thing that makes me get weird around it, is like when someone I love gets something that I should be so happy for them for, and it's not even their fault. It's because, like, I saw 10 in a row. It's not them specifically, personally.
But then it's like this other flip that happens on Instagram where, I don't know, you're like, why do I crave other people's attention or validation that I'm even on this? Because that's what it's there for. It's not just like, I'm going to show you my life. It's like, I'm going to curate my life for an audience. I mean, I feel like this conversation is just going to like
ebb social media
and flow, social media, but also like your career. You went to Tisch, which is like amazing. For people who don't know, Tisch is like one of the best performing arts universities at NYU.
Yes.
And you did that. You got in. It's very hard to get in.
I did it.
You did it.
I graduated eons ago. Now, there ain't that many eons. But cool,
and you
man.
Come from a family of performers. Did you always know that you wanted to, like, be an actor or be front-facing and in the world?
Absolutely. Maybe not an actor. And my parents weren't performers. My dad was he was a performer, like, in his heart. But he was a director, writer, producer. And my mom is a managing director. Now she's executive director of Waco, Where Art Can Occur, Tina and Richard Lawson's theater company.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, so my mom was always like the managing director, the producing director, not the artistic director of theater companies, but the one who did the money and, you know, like that.
Yeah.
Like,
So they saw it as like a very legitimate.
And my mom made her way to the arts. She didn't like, you know, she was a kindergarten teacher and worked with Marla Gibbs and Angela Gibbs, Marla's daughter, for years. They had a theater company called Crossroads, and my mom just ran it. Like, they just fell into it. And after she'd been doing it for a while, she's like, maybe I should. She like went back to grad school and got a degree in it. And then, I don't know, this is a tangent, but
For it.
That's why she probably encouraged me to go to school for anything you want to do and stuff too, even if it's being an artist.
You got discovered like pretty quickly after university, right? Like, Precious happened.
Discovered.
Well, you
I'm
got
not,
you.
I'm so, I know. I'm
I've
so.
I've never
like,
heard another actor say discovered in recent years.
Oh, I'm not. Well, I'm not an actor, like, not so an I don't know. I'm
like, it's such a funny word.
No, that's cool. It sounds cool. Like, it sounds,
you had your on screen debut.
Yep.
That's
pretty,
better.
No, yeah. Pretty soon after you, right? Yeah. I did Precious in October, and I graduated in May. So that was pretty cool.
That's dope.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, I know. When I got it, I was like, I'm gonna make it. Yeah, I knew it though. I was like, see, okay. I was like, that's affirmation enough. So even through the year or whatever, I was like, nope. But yeah, Precious was so, I was lucky to get that. It was so cool. I had read that book, Push, when I was in like seventh grade. So I like remembered it. So it was cool to be in the movie version.
Yeah. You're working on a HBO show with Tiffany Haddish.
They passed.
Nah. All next right. Because I was just going to be like, yo, she's doing too many.
She's doing so much. I'm playing. I love Tiffany. Yeah. I was so, I think it's so cool that in the right at the top of her like rise, yeah. not the top of her whole rise. I'm sure she's been at it for years. But I mean, like that moment after Girlship, she immediately reached down to me. Mm-hmm. And pulled up the next. I just found that so admirable and dope mm-hmm. and just telling about that other Sag queen.
Oh, she's sad.
She's Sag. A Sag queen.
I'm telling you, I and love from LA, like Sag me.
Yeah, she's cool, man. Getting a show made is hard.
It's oh, yeah. so hard.
It's different insane. Than writing a script.
It is.
It's
yeah.
different. Just like I always tell younger actors and like my friends and stuff that acting is different than auditioning. Auditioning is a different skill than showing up on the day. Auditioning, that's a different thing. So I think, yeah, getting a show made is something different.
Was this the first time that you were involved in developing a show?
Yeah, the first time ever writing anything, first time pitching an idea.
You wrote it?
You wrote it?
Me and Danielle Henderson.
That's Who's that?
Danielle Henderson, a dope writer.
Should I know who that is?
Yeah, she's black.
I feel like you should know who
she
that
was
is.
She was based in New York, but now she just moved out here. She wrote on Difficult People. She wrote on Maniac on Netflix.
No way. I'm going to look her
She's writing on League of Their Own. Yeah, she's awesome.
So what was the premise of the show?
Oh my God. Oh, it was going to be about like
social media.
Yeah, the stuff is attached.
Yeah. Queen, yeah.
It's just about me. But that's what I was seeing now during the whole thing. I was like, okay, I want to do like stand up and come to something that way instead of trying to be like a story to Le Glingo. Like, I'd be better with like just my hot takes and like what I think and just seeing what that comes into and maybe somebody else can see it and like help me make it into something, because I was just trying to do too much. Sorry, I'm all over the place with the mic. I remember it's a podcast. I'm a live person. I ain't no recording. I was like, you're like a sign in your eye. You got to scoot over, baby.
I want to take a picture of Dosha right now because she looks like a rapper to me.
Oh, thank you.
Her outfit is so, your outfit is so cute.
Yeah, you look super cute. Yeah.
Thank you. I want to put that on my Insta, man. That's how I be trying to feel.
You do look like you are repping Hot Girl Summer.
Yes, I am all day, baby. Meg Thee Stallion. I'm driving the boat. I'm driving the boat, baby.
Pause on that. We'll be right back after this break.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
And we're back.
Wait, so we were talking about you developing this show.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You were,
so it was about like, it was going to be just, I wanted it to be like a searing examination of like, beauty standards and what it means to be a black woman and be on social media. Because we're just in this world now where I've always wanted to be one of those girls who could just like, those girls who just have it so easy. And I feel like there's a lot of intersection between like beauty standards and like the internet or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like the Kardashians and all them people making all this money off the black aesthetic, but then they like kind of puts me even lower on the totem. Black woman.
Like, yeah.
And I can't, like, I've no, done it makes... this pitch so many times, and I always suck at explaining it because it's so personal to me, and always, I wish I could read my about why I wrote, because it's dope. I know I have to find it in my email, but yeah, just looking at like, I wanted to see what it would be like if a girl who looked like me like tried to get internet famous. Instead of having this one representation of black girl magic and we all posted fit on the umbrella, when we know in these streets still, it's still little girls who look like me getting roasted and like cultivating, getting low self-esteem because the boys are being mean to them. And now it's getting even worse because now the standard of black beauty is a white woman.
It's a white woman pretending to be black.
My mind just got blown right now. Yeah.
Like,
I don't know why my mind just got blown.
Shut up.
No.
It should have been a show.
Like, oh, shit. The representation of black beauty is not black.
It's not even black
no more. So, like, I was like, that's what the show was trying to be about. But then I was like, I don't think after all that, I was like, I don't think that that's that kind of a narrative. I don't think it's a half hour. Mm-hmm. I think it's this. I think it's a round table. I think it's me talking about it. I don't think it's like me trying to like be like, so where will your character be in 3 years? I just want to talk about the truth.
The truth.
I'm sick of it.
It's a bigger social.
I'm sick of the shit, Charla.
I'm sick of it too. You better speak on it because you just blew my mind right now.
Well, it's a bigger it's a bigger example of like, why is always like the dark skinned girl in the movie always the best friend and never the lead? Like, and what does this teach like young black girls about their standard or their ideas of beauty or how they're seeing in the world if like every way that they're seen on screen is not of being like loved, of not of being like desired. And then you go on social media and it is a specific aesthetic that is not black, that does not look like you, that gets the likes, that gets the validation. And we internalize that
shit.
And we need to talk about it so that we can move out of it. Like, please. Speak on it. It's fucked up. That's why we don't like social media, because no one is gassing up people that look like us.
Well, you know what, though? I do feel like the more I get sick of social media, the more I start to just... I start to make it what I want it to be, right?
Like,
I follow, I follow dark skin blogs about dark skin. I follow fashion models that has super dark skin. I follow people with different body types. I started to curate a world that I wanted to see, basically.
That's really smart.
It
helped. You gotta change your algorithm. My algorithm is just all black Hollywood or like white skin booty girls from friggin' research from when I was doing the show. My algorithm is screwed. It's like all I see is like white women who look like me but with like white skin and blue eyes. And I'm like, wait, because I be swearing. I'm like, I think I look like Gigi Hadid. That makeup look they all do. I'm like, this is like looking like a black face. Child. I know y'all probably saw that thread on Twitter about like girls cosplaying.
Black.
I don't think so.
Yes, no. Nigga fishing. Nigga fishing.
What
is what
they
call it?
What's nigga fishing?
Nigga fishing is a white is a white woman who tans. She's gotten like it's like catfishing.
I understand immediately. Okay.
Cosplaying as black
as
women.
Black.
Cosplaying as black
women. I
was
seeing that. I was just like, if this is real, it's crazy.
It's real.
So they're doing like just like a more Instagram Rachel Dolezal, basically.
Yeah, but it's like, or like a Kardashian, you know?
Man, ain't nobody trying to say they're
doing it. So they're
not
trying to look
but...
black. They're just trying to look darker. Like,
no, they're trying to take on like black features.
Or look mixed. Like trying to look ambiguous. I feel like it's an ambiguous vibe now. Like, and there's a lot of stuff that I feel like has classically been the black woman aesthetic, but no one will like admit that it is. Like, even like, the part down the middle, straight, super long, like inches. Like, all that, like, and I know, like, you know, our hair is not naturally straight, so sure, we didn't create that, but it was like that bone straight look, it looks bone straight because our hair is kinky, so when you straighten it, it's even straighter. If it's naturally straight, it looks different, so you're, like, emulating some style that,
It's just, like, it's the truth that I feel like a lot of, like, fashion starts with, like, young black girls who are like experimenting and making the most out of it, but then they're called ghetto.
Right?
Like, it's
the blue
like
hair, the long nails.
The long nails.
The crazy, even today you're wearing a bandana.
Bandana.
And you'll see that stuff on runways.
But it's like when you were, I don't know, when I was growing up, it was like, oh, that's like hood. You gotta meet this other aesthetic. But then as soon as another race starts doing it, it then becomes like socially acceptable and it's the like,
the hot thing. And a lot of our stuff, I hate when like they take like functional things and change it, because sometimes you're wearing a bandana because my braids are old.
Right.
Like, you don't even know my life. Or you know what I'm saying?
Even know my braids were old. Wow, yo. You're just putting on a bandana like an idiot, dude.
You're like an idiot. You're like wearing it for fun. You poser. Like,
you're a poser,
I'm fine.
Dude.
Like, people be, there's a lot of stuff like that to be for like or necessity or like reasons why we do things or the way we are or the way we are classically, and people don't even know the history of it. I remember I was, oh man, and this is horrible, and this is my own bullish, like my own problems. I'm not putting this on these beautiful sisters at all. I sound like Monique, but this is my first illegal thing I'm gonna say, but I was getting so triggered and mad at seeing all these beautiful mixed actresses wearing braids to premieres and stuff. It was making me so mad. I wanted to write a think piece. And not because they were, but because it was like whenever I would see an article about like the best box braids of the summer, there were no black girls who looked like me. Mm-hmm. There was only one type of black girl being shown. I was like, cool. Everybody doing braids. Kylie and everybody, it's cool, whatever. And they black. They could have their braids. But I was just thinking about being a little girl and having these only certain pathways to beauty. And what we know is beauty is long, hangy hair. And having braids being your only pathway to that.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't know what that feels like to have long, swingy hair for the first time in your life, to have that and...
I mean, I do feel like it's changing little by little, though.
It is.
I feel like we, because of things like this that have happened before we got together and started talking about this stuff, of people questioning why this standard of beauty is what it is. And I feel like the more we question it, the more I don't see it as a standard anymore. Like, this is, I mean, it's really had to come from the inside out because this stuff seeps into your bones, bro. It seeps into you in a way that you're like you genuinely don't see yourself as beautiful and worthy. And that's something that I've had to like really face.
Girl.
And just decide. I had to literally decide that what I got is good.
Yeah, well, because you're... ingrained, like you said, like you, when you're lived experience and it's like you have something special and then someone else takes it, or like, I don't know, it fucks up your head. And I feel like for the longest time I didn't believe that I was beautiful because I didn't see anyone like me that was told that they were beautiful. And I would say like a year, I feel like, let's actually be fully honest here, maybe 5 months ago I was able to look in the mirror and be like, I'm cute.
Yeah.
And like, not even like beautiful, but like cute. And I was like, that's a huge step for me. I think that I'm cute. Maybe in like 6 more months, I'll be able to say that I'm beautiful. And that makes me so sad that like little black girls aren't told enough that you are like fucking beautiful.
You're gorgeous.
You're gorgeous. And it fucks us up.
It
and
fucks
we
us
don't
up.
Realize how badly it fucks us up. And people like to like, move beyond, but like you're smart,
but
you're talented, and you're like, I am
but
all those things
that,
too. But I want to be seen as beautiful because it feels like this ring that we're not
right, we're not
that
able
I'm told
to
I can't reach.
But
yeah.
it's not only that, like when they do compliment you on beauty, it's on like a feature that's like white, it's like you have good hair, or you have, or look at your skin. It's not like, oh, you're so dark and chocolatey, like, oh, you're so look at how kinky, look at how, like, even if you call it nappy, I love how nappy your hair is beautiful, like, I feel like your curl pattern's on point. You know what I mean? Or your braids are on point, or you whatever it is that look at how big your lips are. You know, like things like that. Like, I feel like even the compliments are only compliments when they're like white features.
Proximity to whiteness.
Exactly. I can't wait until this thing is not something that we're comparing ourselves. Yeah. Like, I can't wait to like completely eradicate this standard, because I feel like that's the problem, is the standard.
The standard, well, it's the white gaze that we grow up with, that's even ingrained in, you know, I speak for myself, that I feel like it was ingrained in me as a black person. Like, I too grew up with Friends and loved Rachel and wished that my hair could look like that. My hair was never gonna look like that. My mother was never gonna let me get braids. I was wearing like plaits, and that was just like it. So that was out of reach.
Yeah.
So it feels refreshing, honestly, to like have you here, because I like, you know, let's talk about perceptions. Let's talk about Instagram. I look at you as a standard of beauty.
Yes.
And to hear you say that you deal with things that I deal with, like, what the fuck?
Honestly, it made me feel better.
I learned a lot too from, I mean, I know my privileges, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I know I've got thin privilege. I know that. I mean, I've just like, I've been trying to change up my Twitter, like the people I've been following, I've been like learning so much about things, or like, pretty privileged. I mean, there's all types of ways that we're privileged. I want to take it back to the mixed girls with braids. I don't mean to, like, the only reason I think mad about anything or get all incensed about things like that is, I think, because there's just only this one representation that we always see. Mm-hmm. So that's the real problem. The problem is not them. They're victims
doing
too. I mean, So yeah, it's not. I don't want you. Mixed girl with braids calling me on the phone.
You got that? Like, mixed girls with braids listening to this. Do not call Zosha.
Slinking out. They're gonna be like, what about my braids?
She was just joking.
It was just an example.
She's mad. You know what I mean?
I know.
Well, we all.
Mama gets mad. I'm nice though.
We all are victim to it.
Yeah.
You have a daughter, right?
I do.
How? I mean, how are you raising your daughter to just know that she's like fucking beautiful and like amazing?
I don't even know yet, man. She's still little. I don't know. That's the gag about when you have a kid, you still don't know nothing.
Yeah. But do you feel a sense of, like, since she's been born, have you felt a sense of urgency to know like how you're going to handle and feel about it?
I felt a sense of urgency to better myself, to know, to do my work. I had to unpack a lot. I'm right now I'm doing it live because she's still a baby. She's not a baby. She's a toddler. She two. But she just turned two.
She's going to start talking.
Yeah, she be talking. Yep. Yeah, so like I've learned a lot about myself and my stuff about body image. I think about that a lot because I know that kind of stuff is like not in your genes, but you get it passed down to you, you know?
Yeah.
Thinking about diet culture and like just all that type of stuff. Like I've been thinking on everything and I'm like, shit, I gotta get it together. It's mainly for me, I'm just trying to get to this self-love because I think that'll like help fix everything. Like if you can love yourself, I feel like that'll help me be a better mother.
That's a common thread through so many of the episodes that we've done. So much of Lauren and I's personal conversations and conversations on this podcast. It seems like such a hard thing for Black women in particular to reach is this like goal of self-love.
Yeah.
It's like there's a million barriers in front of us constantly. One of them is social media, but the other ones are the pre-programmed tastes we have in our head even before social media came out, though. Like even before it was out. I already had issues, you know, I already didn't think I was anything. I already didn't, no one ever told me I was, or maybe someone treated me like I wasn't anything. So it's just like, man, it's,
it is a hill to climb.
It's a journey. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's how I've been, a lot of us coming to that too. I was like, I hate myself. I was like, oh man.
It's a sad realization.
It
is.
But it's a good one though, because I think as soon as you realize it, it's kind of like, over.
Exactly.
Like, not like all the way, but like, you're like, oh, I guess I don't. Yeah.
Because
like,
what's your other option? Just keep hating yourself?
Right,
that can't happen.
Yeah.
I can't just keep hating myself. I must choose different.
Being gentle, compassionate with ourselves. I love self-help type stuff.
Same.
Crystal Mama, Palo Santo, burning out my nose. I love Brene Brown.
I love Brene Brown. Lauren and I just watched the Vulnerability Netflix episode.
Oh my God, that was so good.
She made me cry.
That was the first, me too. I needed her too. Mm-hmm. I watched it right on time, as always. Mm-hmm.
I really want to know her as a person.
Yeah, she's a bomb.
Brene Brown, Crystals, Palo Santo, all of these things are like my jam that I do. These are the ways that you're like exploring. Because I'm also interested, like, and as we talk about loving ourselves, like how we're doing it, like do you say affirmations to yourself? Like, you know, what's the process like on your journey to like like, I love me. I'm fucking dope.
Reading, deleting Insta off my phone, meditating. Usually for me, like I feel confident and happy and good when I'm like pouring into myself. Like when I like, or sometimes I try not to do too much thinking. I'm bad at it. I'm trying to get out of my head more. But like sometimes thinking back on like all I've done, like I got it from an acting class, Leslie Kahn, she says, or play the tape. Mm-hmm. And yeah, listening to some of the stuff my therapist will tell me, like realizing that I can untrigger. Something can trigger me and I can like come down off. I don't have to be like, I'm triggered. Like she was talking about like getting pulled, but instead of getting like pulled and dragged down the street, feeling something like trying to pull you and being like, okay, okay, you relax.
Yeah. You gotta come down from those things because you start to learn that you're hurting other people and it's not just about you. and you want these people to feel loved by you.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta like be softer with you so you could be softer with them.
Yeah.
But I've loved talking to you so much. We like to end every podcast with this question. What's your secret, Zosia?
What's my secret? I'm like, why am I overthinking this? Being myself.
I love it.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's enough.
All the time.
Yeah.
That's
huge. That's
huge. That's something we're trying to tackle and trying to do every day, being yourself.
I'm dying
so that's
to
a
be
huge
myself,
secret.
Yeah. I like it. I get off on it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So Zosia just left the studio, and what I think is so crazy about this conversation is that even when you're a star, you still have to deal with your insecurities.
And it's just it's really refreshing to be in this space and be like, everyone is on this journey. Like, mm-hmm. Most people have been like programmed in this way that we don't love ourselves. And just to see that like everyone's on this journey, everyone's walking the path, and we're all using similar but different tools to get there is just really like, it's really inspiring. And it's also, you know?
I used to think that I was too emotional. And now I'm just like, man, thank God I have such a capacity for emotion, you know? I don't know what the word of the week is for this one.
Yeah, I don't know what the word of the week for this one.
We had a lot.
Is either. Like, I mean, a part of me, and it doesn't even feel like the right word, but I don't know. It's the only word that's coming to me now, which is like beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, we're all beautiful. Like, everyone, there's, find the beauty in yourself. And I feel like I want to choose beauty because I feel like it's been something that I've denied to myself and it's been denied to me, and I'm taking re-ownership.
Lauren, you're giving me chills today.
You know, like, I'm taking ownership of, like, I am beautiful. And it feels scary for me to even say
that
out loud.
You are beautiful. You're gorgeous.
Yeah, but you can say that. But if I don't believe it in myself, I'm never going to be able to receive that. So beauty's the word. Beauty's the journey that I'm on to recognize that I am, like, beautiful inside and out. So that's my word.
All right. It's beautiful. All right, that's it.
That's it.
Let's rock more.
Wow.
We are your hosts, Sharla Larson and Lauren Domino. The Secret Lives of Black Women is a production of Stitcher. Our producer is Stephanie Kariuki. Our editor is Gianna Palmer. Special thanks to our chief content officer, Chris Bannon, sound designer, Brendan Burns, and our recording engineer, Jared O'Connell. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at the SLBW. Bye.
Stitcher.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches, but there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.